Here it goes. You got to watch this. My goal for 2023 is to accomplish the goal set in 2022, which I should have done in 2021 because I promised it in 2020 and plan to do it in 2019. It's okay. Y'all go ahead and laugh because we're all in the same boat. Amen. All right. Now this is gonna be different. I promise you it's gonna be different. Matter of fact, when I start, you're gonna think, is the office rocker? I'm going to answer that yes. Okay? Get ready. Kiss. Keep it simple, saints. Now remember I told you the story about one time that guy that used to come here, Ricky, he now lives in Utah. But he one day I come in there and he had got smart mouth with my wife. I mean, he got really smart mouth with her. I couldn't believe it because she was just saying, Ricky, I don't know if we should do it this way or that. He just jumped right up and snapped at her and wow, hurt my wife's feelings. And I walked in and said, what are you doing? He said, I'm sorry, man. I forgot where I was at and who I was talking to, man. I'm just so sorry. Can you please forgive me? I said, sure. He says, well, I guess I was supposed to preach tonight. I guess you don't want me to preach tonight. I said, I still want you to preach tonight. I said, I'm not stopping there. I just said, you need to learn how to talk to people. And he always had a habit, and I try not to do it. Some of y'all think I do, is he'll take a 15-minute sermon and preach it for an hour and a half. And so before I got ready to preach that night, I was running the sound, and so I put K-I-S-S on the pulpit. Keep it short, saint. I just told him, keep it short. So he comes up and he sees that, and he sees the K-I-S-S is just K-I-S-S. He looks over at me, running the sound, and he goes. I said, well, maybe he got it. Then he stands up and talks about how great I am. He talked for 15 minutes about how great I was, a good pastor, a good counselor, blah, 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 blah. When he finally got through, he preached for an hour and a half on a 15-minute subject. I walked up to him later on. I said, didn't you see my note? He said, yeah, kiss. I said, yeah, why didn't you follow it? He said, I did. Didn't you tell me to kiss up to you? I said, you definitely did that, but I was actually meant keep it short, saint. So every time I see kiss, I think about that. It just gives me a little chuckle. All right, keep it simple, saints. Now, this all started with a Christmas carol, okay? And so I want you to listen to this. There's several things there, but we're going to start with one principle a week for just a few weeks, okay? New year, new what? You fill in the blank. New year, new what? You can fill in new year, new attitude, new year, new actions, new year, new closeness to God, new year, more prayer, new prayer. You know, you fill in that blank because I'm not going to sit here and try to tell you what to fill in the blank. New year, new blank. Okay? And I'm getting ready to show you something. Like I said, you can think I've lost it, but then again, just know I never had it. So here we go. Okay. The first principle of KISS. Okay? Gene Simmons didn't write this. The first principle of KISS is, get ready, focus on what you can do instead of what you can't do. Somebody go, Number two, same principle, focus on what you do have instead of what you don't have. Wow. That right there will change your life dramatically and drastically before you leave this building. Amen? I want you to get this in your head. I want you to get it down. Now, where did all this come from? Well, my favorite song, Christmas song as a little boy, was Little Drummer Boy. Love that song. My grandma used to play it all the time at her house. I went around there and we were opening gifts. She'd play Little Drummer Boy and other stuff, but I just love Little Drummer Boy. And it just was so intriguing about this song. And finally, a week or so ago, God began to deal with me about the Little Drummer Boy. So I want to show you something. This is how it's going to start this sermon. Come, they told me, pa-rum-pa-bum-pum. A newborn king to see, pa-rum-pa-pum-pum. Our finest gifts we bring, pa-rum-pa-pum-pum. To lay before the king, pa-rum-pa-pum-pum. Rum-pa-pum-pum, rum-pa-pum-pum. So to honor him, pa-rup-a-pump-pump, when we come. That's all cool. But here is where we're just talking about. Baby Jesus, pa-rup-a-pump-pump, I am a poor boy too, pa-rup-a-pump-pump. I have no gift to bring, pa-rup-a-pump-pump, that's fit to give the king, pa-rup-a-pump-pump, rup-a-pump-pump, rup-a-pump-pump. Ready? Y'all ready? Because you think this is just a song, but some of y'all sing this every day. You say amen or ouch. Ready? We focus on the don't haves. First, he focused on himself. I am a poor boy too. I'm nothing. I've got nothing. I have no gift to bring. He's focusing on what he doesn't have, excuse me. And he focuses on that's fit to give a king what he has to give. So he's focused. These are all don't haves. I'm nothing. I don't have anything. And I have nothing worthy to give a king. Don't raise your hand. But how many? At times, when challenges come, opportunities come, you have that attitude. You focus on what you don't have and who you aren't and feel like whatever I do have is not worth to give to anybody. Don't raise your hand. But I hope this year things are going to change for you. Now, I like this song really, really cool because not only did it start out with he focusing on what it does not have, now he changes his focus. Get ready. Oh, isn't he cute? Kind of looks like me, don't it? Not. Ready? Shall I play for you, pa-rup-a-pum-pum, on my drum? Mary nodded, pa-rup-a-pum-pum. The ox and lamb kept time, pa-rup-a-pum-pum. I played my drum for him, pa-rup-a-pum-pum. I played my best for him, pa-rup-a-pum-pum, rup-a-pum-pum, rup-a-pum-pum. Then he smiled at me, pa-rup-a-pum-pum, me and my drum. Get ready. Now he's changed his focus. He's focused on what he does have, what he can do. I can play that drum. What he does have, I can play, and I've got a drum, okay? And Mary nodded means it is being noticed. What he's doing is being noticed. And he said, I played my best for him. He did it with all of his heart. And he smiled at me, talking about baby Jesus. It pleased God. Wow. That's a revelation in that song. If we can learn to quit looking at what we don't have and what we can't do and do what we can do, it is amazing. The Bible says, it talks about a man going out and traveling and giving five talents and three talents and one talent and comes back and the five's got ten and the three is like different. There's different numbers in the Gospels, but the one with one is what I want to focus on. He said, well, I understand that you're a tough man and you really want something when you come back, so I'm going to bury it. And he never used it. And when the man came back, he said, take that one from him and give it to the man with ten. Wow. So, this year, quit focusing on what you don't have and start focusing on what you do have. Remember, this little boy is awesome. Now you're going to say, well, wait a minute. That's all well and good, but quit talking counseling talk. And how about give me some scripture to back that up? I'm glad you asked that. Just look at that for a minute. Mark 14. It was now 2 days before the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread. The leading priests and the teachers of religious law were still looking for an opportunity to capture Jesus secretly and kill him. But not during the Passover celebration, they agreed, or the people may riot. Meanwhile, Jesus was in Bethany at the home of Simon, a man who had previously had leprosy. While he was eating, a woman came in with a beautiful alabaster jar of expensive perfume made from the essence of nard. She broke open the jar and poured the perfume over his head. Some of those who were at the table were indignant. "Why waste such expensive perfume?" they asked. "It could have been sold for a year's wages and the money given to the poor." And they scolded her. Now remember, she didn't just pour it over his head. As it rolled down, she wiped him off with her hair. Wow, this is a very powerful move. Okay? But Jesus said, "Leave her alone. Why criticize her for doing such a thing, good thing to me? You will always have the poor among you, and you can help them whenever you want to, but you will not always have me." She did what she could. And I'm going to just add in the emphasis. She did what she could with what she had. Wow. Let's let it soak in for a while. She did what she could with what she had. Wow. "And has anointed my body for burial ahead of time. And I tell you the truth, wherever the good news is preached throughout the world, this woman's deed will be remembered and discussed." Now look, when they beat him, can you imagine, this is just before he's taken the trial. When he's standing up for trial, can you imagine, first they beat him, can you imagine the guards as they're beating him going, "What's that smell? Man, it smells good." As they throw that cross on his back, they go, "What does that smell?" As he's toting that cross up that hill, "What does that smell?" As Simon the Cyrene gets up underneath that cross and touches it for him, "What does that smell?" And as they take his garments off of him at the cross and are gambling for the garment, the Roman soldier going, "What does that smell?" That beautiful smell was Mary doing what she could do with what she had. So watch this. Number one, I like in the day we live in, especially with all the stuff going on, many times we see opportunity, but we ignore it. We see opportunity, but we kind of close our eyes. You know, I can remember at work, and there was one spot in work where it was very high tension and high pressure, and it was highly physical. And I remember I was supposed to be, I built this machine, and I kept the machine running and kept it programmed. But every now and then, because we were short on people, they would throw me out there and say, "Well, since you know how to run it, you're training people, you can run it, and you can repair it, and you can keep it programmed, you can do it all. We get three for the price of one." And I said, "I don't like this." And I remember up there needing help, and people would ride by and see me on their fork truck, and when they see me, and I'm going like this, they would turn their head. Like they didn't even see me. And I'd be out there needing help so bad, and people, they could see it, and see me waving my hands and throwing boxes, because they were 50-pound cases, and they were coming by hundreds. And I'm trying to get it going, and I couldn't operate it, and prepare it, and program it all at the same time. So I'm doing all this stuff, and people ride by, and go. And later on, as a pastor, I seen things need to be done. People needing help. Things that we could do to help somebody. All kinds of things. And I see folks do this. They see it, and they do this. Wow. So now, she recognized the opportunity. The Bible says, he's in the house. He's in the house. She did not know that it would be the last time he'd be in the house. She just knew that he was in the house. He even said, "The poor you got with you all the time, but you're not going to have me all the time." She saw the opportunity, and she took advantage of it. And she wanted to show him just how much she loved him and how worthy he was. So, watch this. So often, I see it all the time. Get ready. You may find yourself in here. If you find yourself in here, write it down and fix it. That's plain talk. If you find yourself, what I'm getting ready to show you, if you find yourself in it, write it down and fix it. Ready? Sometimes you think of what you would do. Your life's overshadowed with what if. If I had certain talent, if I had certain skill, if I had certain ability, I know what I would do. Really? Do you know what God said? Take what you got and use it. And when the time comes, you'll get more. At the time, use what you got. If you use what you got, I should tell the guys when I was coaching football, I would tell them, when you go on that field today, when you come back, I want you to have nothing left. And they go, well, coach, that's kind of, no, I said, when you go out on that field, when you come back in, I want you to have nothing left. And they said, but isn't that kind of hard? I said, that's how you win. If you go out there and give it a half-hearted shot, that's what you're going to get. But if you give it your best and give it everything you got, you'll be a winner. And it's amazing how that always came to pass. So, first, some people often, they just think of what they would do. Okay? Is your life overrun with what ifs? What if? If I only had this talent, if I only could do this, if I could only do that, if. If that's your mindset, get in your prayer closet, you talk to God, and you and God fix it. Not me. You and God fix it. Because you might not can do what certain other people can do, but that don't matter. It's what you can do. She saw what she could do at the time. And I'm going to tell you how big a sacrifice that was. There's others who complain about what others do. There's a whole lot of armchair quarterbacks. You want to really get under my goat? You might not ever see it, but I can promise you, if you want to get under my goat, you be an armchair quarterback and explain to me how to get it done. I just as well you go ahead and take a baseball bat and slap me in the face. You're going to sit in the armchair, in the comfort of your armchair, not do a thing and complain about somebody else how they're doing it. Get up. Fix it. You see, people that complain, their life is overshadowed by why them. I'm going to complain about what others doing. Why are they the ones doing it? Because you're sitting in your armchair and won't set up and do something about it. I know it sounds harsh. It's not harsh. It isn't harsh at all. But I tell you what, it'll sure make you think. Finally, they complain about what others don't do. Their life is overshadowed by why not someone else? If you got any of those attitudes, give it to God. Repent. Give it to God and help Him. Let Him help you fix it. Because there's too much to be done for one or two people to do it. It takes a whole village. So now, she recognized the opportunity. Then she recognized she couldn't do it all, but she could do something. I know I can't do it all. There's no doubt in my mind. You know, I don't know about you, but some of us guys, we're fix-it guys. And so, fix-it guys, we want to just fix it. Just fix it. But if we're not careful, we'll wind up taking care of all the fixing and deprive somebody else of a blessing. Or, somebody might not step up to help you because they don't feel that they're good enough to help you. So here's what I'm telling you. She recognized she couldn't do it all, but she could do something. You see, here it is. She sought out her best. She didn't give him leftovers. I can tell you, I can't even count on all my hands and my feet, my toes. I couldn't count, honestly, I'm not kidding. You can pick any row in this church with people on it and give me all their fingers and their toes. I can't tell you how many times I'll be outside at the parsonage and somebody ride by in a truck and go, hey, Pastor, I was on the way to the dump and he hit me. Maybe the church could use this. Wow. Sure. Or to say, you know, I'd help you, Pastor, but, you know, my show's on. I'd help you, Pastor, but, you know, I'm really tired. You know, Pastor, I helped out a year ago. I've done my share. Again, I know it sounds rough, and I don't mean it to sound rough. You know me, I don't beat up people. I'm just telling you, for the new year, if you want the new year to be different than last year, if you always do what you always done, you always get what you always got. If you want something to be different, you got to get up and change the channel. So, you ready? She sought out her best, an alabaster box of spikenard. This alabaster box of spikenard was very powerful. She counted it out, the cost. It was 300 denarii, which is a year's wage. Even said in the Bible, it cost a year's wage. You see, back then, this was a sign of something very powerful. It's like winning an Academy Award. You know, you put it out. I hear about this old redneck. He won a gold medal at the Olympics, and he was so proud of it, he went home and had it bronzed. So this was a status symbol. This was something powerful. To have that spikenard was powerful. And so you put it up for people to see, and the only way to get into it was to break the jar. Period. Break the jar. You don't go and open it up and pour some out. No, you break the jar, and when it's broken, it has to be used. So here she is. She sought out her best, that spikenard. She counted the cost. This is a year's wage. And then she gave it out freely. Wow. She broke it. And she poured it out. That's true worship. If we want to really be able to worship this year, then we need to not give God leftovers. Give Him our best. And I'm not just talking about stewardship of money. I'm talking about stewardship of your entire life. Well, God understands. Okay. I know He understands. But when Jesus carried that cross up Calvary's hill, He was so exhausted. His blood was just about out. He could barely move. He was so bad off that they had to get Simon of Cyrene to carry his cross, but he wouldn't stop because he knew his mission. My question is, what does it take to stop you? There's some guys I call hangnail Christians. They get a hangnail and they're out. They're not going to work. They're not going to do anything as long as they got that hangnail. Well, somebody else has got an amputation. They're giving it all they got. Don't be a hangnail Christian. This year coming up, with all this stuff that we got coming on us, this is the year of transition. I really believe that we're in the last minutes before Jesus comes back. And it's obvious the government don't have what we need. And it's obvious that the world don't have what we need. And the world leaders, the only person that has what we need is Jesus. And we're His feet and His hands and His mouth. And when we stand before God, you know, one thing that hit me really hard one day was I was thinking about, you know, at the white throne of judgment, the Christians are already going, they're going to be at the white throne of judgment standing around watching. Because we were judged at the Bema seat. And so the Christians are standing around. They're not going anywhere. They're in heaven for life or for eternity, excuse me, for eternity. But as the people that's coming up going to hell, as they come up and they're being judged, I had a revelation one day and it really, really woke me up. In that revelation, I was standing around as they were coming up to see why they're going to hell at the white throne of judgment. And I saw some of my people. And they looked at me as they were sentenced to hell. And they said, why didn't you tell me? Why didn't you tell me? And they turn around and they're taken off by demons. Wow. That shook me strong. So now, again, this is the last days. This is it. We've got to get in here. We've got to do it. Okay, so now, she recognized she couldn't do it all, but she could do something. I'm almost through. I promise. And she did what she could do while she could do it. You see, I have discovered that many Christians have been paralyzed with procrastination. They're going to do something, but they never do it. Watch this. There's three signs that you may be paralyzed by procrastination. Number one, you're going to do it sometime. Always. I'll do that sometime. I'm going to do that sometime. You need to go ahead and let the Lord. I'll do that sometime. Well, you know, can we get you to, I'll do that sometime. The Bible says, Ecclesiastes 11:4, he that deserveth the wind's not going to sow. If you're trying to watch for reasons to stop you, what it says, if you're trying to find reasons to stop you, you'll find it. Then there's those. They're tomorrow people. I'll do it tomorrow. I got it tomorrow. The only problem is tomorrow never comes because tomorrow is today. Tomorrow is today on tomorrow. Matthew 6:33-34 says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Take no thought for your own life. And then there's those just waiting for the right time. Well, when I feel the time is right, well, 2 Corinthians 6:1-2 says, now is the accepted time. Now. So, God's going to do something. I don't see that great revival before the rapture that some guys are talking about. This great revival is going to take place. That's not what Revelation shows. Revelation shows all hell's going to break loose. One thing I do know is God's going to protect his people and God's going to use us to bring other people in. And so I believe there's going to be a great awakening. Not a great revival, but a great awakening. There's a difference. A great revival is based on feelings and it's based on emotions, but a great awakening is you wake up. And I believe that it is happening in our midst. There's a great awakening. And guess who's part of it? Everybody raise your hand. You're part of it. Remember, you might not can go to Washington, D.C. You may not can go to Greenville. But where you're at, you can blossom and bloom. We'll go where? But what about right here? Now, here. What are you doing? You know, this year, if everybody in this church won one person to Christ, and they started coming and brought their family. You know, if they just brought themselves, you know, the church would double. If they brought their family, it would quadruple. Quite amazing. So then we go back and read the scripture again. And I'm gonna break it down again. And I don't mean for this to sound rough because it didn't sound rough coming out of my head last night. All right. Jesus recognized her heart. He reclined at the table. A woman having an alabaster flask of ointment, very costly, pure nard, broke the alabaster flask and poured it over his head. And then she wiped it with her hair. Watch. Now, it was 2 days before Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread. The leading priests and the teachers of the religious laws were still looking for opportunity to capture Jesus secretly and kill him. But not during the Passover celebration, they agreed, or the people may riot. Meanwhile, Jesus was in Bethany at the home of Simon, a man who had previously had leprosy. While he was eating, a woman came in a beautiful alabaster jar of expensive perfume made for essence, from essence of nard. She broke the open jar and poured it over the perfume over his head. Let me just stop there for a minute. Now Jesus is watching all this. And she recognized the timing. And he recognized the timing. He knew this was his last trip. She didn't know it was his last trip, but she knew that the timing was now because Jesus was in the midst. So she recognized the timing. Some of the table were indignant. Why waste such expensive perfume, they asked. It could have been sold for years' wages and money given to the poor. So they scolded her harshly. But Jesus replied, "Leave her alone. Why criticize her for doing such a good thing to me? You will always have the poor among you, and you can help them whenever you want, but you will not always have me." So he rebukes her critics. And then says, "She has done what she could with what she has, and has anointed my body for burial ahead of time." He recognized her effort. "I tell you the truth, wherever the good news is preached throughout the world, this woman's deed will be remembered and discussed." We're talking about it right now. There's hardly a week goes by that I don't think about that woman and what she did with that bottle of spikenard. There may be a time when I'm just overwhelmed or overworked or whatever, you know, and I say, you know what though? I still need to get up and go because, you know, I may have the message today for somebody. That's just me. I'm not talking about you. I'm not even implying or trying to subliminally talk about anybody in the congregation. I'm talking about me. Me. But I learned a long time ago, if not me, then who? And if not now, then when? It's a song. There's certain people who will not listen to anybody but me. There's other people that will be turned off by talking to me. But the ones that will listen to me, if I'm the only one they'll listen to, I think about standing again in that at the white throne of judgment as they're coming to hell. I was thinking about a couple of Sundays ago, and I told y'all about this. But I was talking to one of my family members, and I said, "Are you really ready? Can we talk about this?" Things aren't looking good for you right now, and I really just want to make sure that you're okay with God. And the person flat out just said, "Can we change the subject, please?" Because as I was talking to that person, I just could see myself standing at the white throne of judgment. Around, and that person coming down here, getting sentenced to hell, and looking at me and said, "Why didn't you tell me? Why didn't you tell me?" That day, I said, "God, you showed it to me again, and now I know my hands are clean." The Bible even says in Ezekiel, that if you don't warn a sinner of his way and they die, then their blood is on your hands. Wow. Wow. So, that day I walked away. I hung up the phone. I could not believe that we just had that conversation and that reaction. But I really believe that God used me to plant a seed, and I really believe that that person's still thinking about that. What can you do? In this new year coming up, all these challenges, there's challenges over everything. It's hard, you can hardly do anything without a challenge anymore. You go places and they say, well, we don't have enough people to even run the place. Or somebody's running it, could care less, and they're doing a sloppy job, and just say, just be glad I'm here. And that'd be okay if I was getting a hamburger, but if I'm getting a needle in me, I want somebody to care. What can I do? How can we change the world? It's just little old us. We might not can change the whole world, but you can help change your world. People are watching. Remember telling you about my mother-in-law, my first mother-in-law? She was a Jehovah's Witness, and she didn't want to hear anything I had to say about the gospel. Nothing. Don't you talk to me about it. I know what I'm doing. And I remember one Easter, she called me and said, what time is service? I said, Sunday school starts at 10. Service at 11. She said, I won't see you at 10. I'll see you at 11. She came in at 11. She heard the Easter message. She got up. She got saved. And she looked over at me when she got up. We were all crying. And she looked over at me and she said, it weren't this message. It weren't even this church. She said, you know why I got saved today? She said, because I've been watching you and my daughter over the past 3 years. And I said to myself, the God that I've been taught about don't do what God that you've been taught about does. My God leaves me hanging. Your God never leaves you hanging. She said, when you first got saved, all of a sudden problems came from everywhere. They were coming out of the closet. And I first said, see? But then I noticed that no matter what came against you, God always defended you and took care of you. And that's the kind of God I want to serve. And she's been serving God now for 50 years. Because she told us it wasn't from a preacher. It was from watching you. What can you do? You know, the Bible says in Colossians 3, 23 and 24, whatever you do, work heartily as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ. Now tomorrow, I'll be going to B5. When I go to B5, there's going to be guys in there. Some of those guys will tell me some of the wildest things, and there's times I have to break up fights, and there's times where, you know, just things are rough. And I go in there and I say, God, please, don't let me get caught up in what they're doing. Let me remember their souls. This morning before I came, the roughest guy I'd seen in a long time. I mean, he was tough. And I would talk to him in group, and I would talk to him individually. And I remember about the third week that I talked to him, he told me, he said, you have given me a whole different perspective of God and a whole different perspective of salvation. He said, I just want to thank you for that. This morning, he got out a couple of weeks ago. This morning, before I came in here, I was back in my office, and I got a text that said, hey, Pastor Linton, this is so-and-so. He said, I just want to let you know that I'm doing great, and I thank God. And he said, Happy New Year. Wow. What you do matters. Now, here's the question, and Brandy, come here and play something. For God, what you going to do for God? Not for me. Not for the church. What are you going to do for God in 2023? This is a year of transition. A year of transition. I get blown away every time I turn on the news. Sometimes I don't even listen to the news. It just gets blown away. I get ill when I hear some of the stuff going on. But then I remember, God said, this is coming. Everybody stand up. I like to tell you, I was going to tell you the rest of them will be a lot easier, the rest of these things, but I'm telling you why I thought today was going to be a whole lot calmer than it rattled my own cage. Okay. Everybody put your hands this way. I want y'all to repeat after me. I can't do it all, but I can do something. I say it again. I can't do it all, but I can do something. Now say this. It's not what I don't have. It's what I do have. It's not what I can't do. It's what I can do. I remember a joke, which is supposed to be a true story. The Department of Motor Vehicles was moving this great old big truck loaded with all this equipment, and they didn't measure it. And they come up under a bridge, an overhead pass, and they got stuck. They couldn't move it forward. They couldn't move it backwards. And they got all these engineers out there trying to figure out how they're going to raise the bridge and move everything up and get everything out of the way. And this little kid walked up and said, "Mister, can I help?" "No, you don't know anything about this. You're going back to Mister, can I help? You don't know anything about this. I let the engineers work this out." I said, "Mister, please." "Okay, what are you going to do?" And he walks over and takes out his Barlow knife and goes to the tires and lets the air out of the tires. And the load drops down, and they drive out. You see, that little boy did what he could do. He's not an engineer. He didn't know all that stuff, but he didn't know. He had enough sense to know. You let the air out the tires, the load will go down. Some of y'all right now, you've got that knowledge in you. You got that ability, but you're afraid to use it. Let God shine through you this year. Say it. It's not what I don't have. It's what I do have. It's not what I can't do. It's not what I can't do. It's what I can do. Let's pray. Father, y'all pray this with me. Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for your power. I thank you for your anointing. I thank you, God, that you got all things under control. Help me to get a different outlook this year. Help me to keep it simple and know that you want to use me. I give myself totally to you in your hands. In the name of Jesus, I thank you for it all. Amen. We're going to say the Lord's Prayer, and after we say the Lord's Prayer, then I want Brother B to dismiss us in prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.